Thank you, gentlemen. And they are putting into your hands something that I hope will be a help to you. This is the first time that I can recollect preaching an entire message on the topic of gossip. Gossip. I've touched on it in messages before. I've done it before, and I've listened to it before, but I don't think I've ever preached an entire message on the topic of gossip. A few weeks back, a fellow believer mentioned to me, you know, how do I determine what gossip is? How do I know what kind of speech gossip is? And so I told them, I'll be preaching on it in a few weeks. So I'm glad that we're all here to look at what the Bible defines as gossip so that we can recognize it, confess it, and then give it up. That's what I've entitled this message tonight, Give Up Gossip, or Leave Gossip Behind. In my home country, one of our presidents had a motto, no kid gets left behind. Well, the motto tonight is, leave gossip behind. Gossip should get left behind. By the way, most of you probably know this, but we thank the Lord that we received our permanent residency here not too long ago. So we're just a couple or 3 years away from citizenship, God willing. We drove down to the border and went around the pole. And made it official the other day, or a few weeks ago. And great news too, the Stassen family just got their permanent residency as well. So I told Etienne, well, we're going to grow old together in Canada. So thankful for the Lord's goodness to us. It took exactly what they said it would take, basically about 13, 14 months. So they were right on target for their estimate. First question, what is gossip? What is gossip? I'll ask you to go to Proverbs 16, verse 27. Proverbs 16, verse 27. I've confined our discussion to Proverbs. I think Proverbs has the most to say about gossip. Depending on what English translation of the Bible you have, you may not even find the word gossip if you run a search in a concordance, but the concept is there. What is gossip? Proverbs 16, verses 27 and 28. Solomon says this, a worthless man digs up evil while his words are like a scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. What is gossip? The word that's used there in verse 28 translated here in the New American Standard as slanderer, has the idea, it's used way back in Deuteronomy 1:27 where the Israelites were upset with God, which was not unusual. And what did the Israelites tend to do when they were upset with God? They griped, they grumbled, they complained. And it says in Deuteronomy 1:27 that the Israelites grumbled or slandered in their tents, same word. Say, what's the point? Well, the point is they were finding fault with God or trying to. They were complaining about it. They were expressing their displeasure, and it was done where? Not that it could be done behind God's back, but it was out of the watchful eye and out of ear range of most people. So let's formulate a little definition of what gossip is. Gossip is talking about the faults of another with those who don't need to know about those faults. Gossip is talking about the faults of another with those who don't need to know. And we'll try and give some examples as we go through the night, some hypothetical examples. So the focus of gossip, the word that's translated there, slander, you could translate it grumble, you could translate it find fault. The focus is finding fault with other people and then voicing your opinions about that other person to somebody else. So I've got a frustration with Barrett. And so this is hypothetical, okay? Totally hypothetical. Got a frustration with Barrett. And so I go to William and I say, William, I'm frustrated with Barrett because he did this to me. Or his attitude stinks. I'm tired of Barrett and his attitude. Right? So that would be what the Bible would call gossip. Now there's a related word called slander. What's the difference between gossip and slander? Gossip is when it's true. Slander is when it's a lie. So I could go and I could say, Barrett slugged me in the face the other day. That would be a lie. And you would say, no mark on your face. So you might clue in. That's slander. Now, if I was frustrated with Barrett over something that was real and not just perceived, and I go to Will and I say, Barrett did this to me and I'm so frustrated with it, let's pray for Barrett. That would be gossip. Okay? Understand the distinction. It's finding fault with other people and then going to somebody else and voicing my opinion to their friends, usually occurring behind their back. Why is gossip so powerful? Because if I say something negative about Barrett, then I've just influenced your opinion of Barrett, unless you're a very godly person. Because you're probably going to accept what I say, because we usually accept what we hear, whether it's true or not. So I can alter someone's attitude about Barrett by what I tell you about Barrett behind Barrett's back. The Bible says that's gossip. That's gossip. Gossip is talking to other people about the faults of another when those other people don't need to know. We'll come back and unpack that a little bit further later on. Question number two, why is gossip so dangerous or deadly? Why is gossip so deadly? You're there in Proverbs 16. Well, he tells us, first of all, that gossip destroys other people. He says in verse 27, a worthless man digs up evil. And these words, worthless man, literally in the Hebrew is a man of Belial. Shows you the strength of it. A man of Belial. Here translated worthless. Well, what does that mean? Well, Nabal the fool, his own wife described him as a person of Belial, a foolish, worthless person. Eli's wicked sons who were committing immorality, they were described as worthless men. And it tells us in 1 Samuel 2, verse 12, they didn't even know the Lord. They were unsaved. So it can be a description of an unsaved person. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 and 15 says, a worthless person, a wicked man, is one who walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eye. He signals with his feet. He points with his fingers. You say, what is that saying? Some sort of signals, I think, to deceive, to trick somebody by his nonverbals. It says, who with perversity in his heart continually devises evil. He spreads strife. The consequence, his calamity will come suddenly, instantly. He will be broken, and there will be no healing. So to sum it up, what's a worthless person? The Bible says a worthless man or woman is a fool who doesn't know the Lord. But he or she does know how to talk dirty, to deceive other people, to make evil plans, and to stir up fights among Christians. Quite simply, he's a wicked, depraved fool who's headed for the judgment of God. You say, Pastor Michael, based on that definition, I don't think I'm a worthless person. I don't think I'm a son of Belial. And I say, praise the Lord, you're not. That's not the description of a believer. So, challenge for us is, let's not let the characteristics of a son of Belial, a worthless person, even creep into our lives by the way we talk. Because a worthless person, he says, is a gossip. What do? It says they dig up evil. Looking for dirty laundry. Looking for something bad about somebody else so that I can tell another person. They dig up evil. They cause trouble. They look for scandals. They try and make life difficult for the person that they're gossiping against. Says his speech is like a scorching fire. We know a little bit about that this summer in Western Canada, don't we? Fires destroy, fires devastate. That's his point. His speech consumes and destroys other people. It's like they'll be covered with third-degree burns once they find out. what I've been saying about them, devastating effects. What kind of speech characterizes a worthless man? Well, verse 28 goes on to explain it further. Not only does gossip destroy other people, secondly, gossip is lethal because it stirs up fights and quarrels and disputes. Verse 28, a perverse man spreads strife. So another synonym for the worthless person. What kind of speech is perverse speech? Well, it's used in Proverbs 23 of a drunk person, just babbling, out of control speech. Says a perverse man spreads strife. What's strife? Strife is contention. It's the same word used of a contentious wife in the book of Proverbs. Somebody who causes fights, disputes, tension, quarrels. It's like the ripple effect when you go out on a clear day when the wind is dead quiet and you're in a pond or on a mountain lake and you take a pebble and you throw a rock out and it hits there at the center and it has the ripple effect as it cascades out further and further. That's what he says gossip does. It says it spreads strife. It hits at a point and then it spreads its ripple effect to those around who will be influenced by it. Fights radiate from the perverse, worthless person. So he tells us that gossip stirs up fights. Third, go over to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. Why is gossip so devastating? Not only does it stir up fights, in Proverbs 26, he tells us that it keeps fights going. It never lets them end when the gossip keeps going. Proverbs 26 and verse 20, he says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there's no whisper, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. He says, without wood, a fire goes out. What are the three ingredients required for a fire? Okay, oxygen, fuel, and flame or heat. Okay? And if you're lacking one of those elements, you're going to have a hard time starting a fire. Now, I'm not an outdoorsman by any stretch, but if I had to, my life depended on it, I probably could figure out a way to get a fire going. He says, without wood or one of those elements, a fire goes out. What's the point of comparison? He says, where there is no whisper, contention goes down. That word whisper is the same word that was translated slander in our last passage. The grumbler, the murmurer, the fault finder behind somebody else's back. If you take that grumbler, that fault finder, that gossip out of the way, he says strife quiets down. Why? Because there's no more wood to keep it going. The source, one of the key sources that you have to have to keep this fire burning is now taken away. So the fire dies. If you take the gossip away from the situation, the contentions stop. If you take the gossip out of the church, the contentions stop. Why? Because the fault-finding fuel is gone. So what's there to argue about? There's nobody there to stir up trouble. The other people want to have peace. So he says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. He drives home the same point in verse 21. He says, like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So when you take him out of the picture, the fire goes out. But when he's in the picture, then trouble starts. Just like charcoal works with embers and wood, it's necessary for a fire. He says this strife-causing, this contentious person kindles a fire, literally a fire of dispute. A fool fires up disputes like charcoal lights a fire. His words are those fuel that start a fight and keeps them going. It's amazing as I watch the news periodically online, particularly in places like the Middle East where people tend to get very emotional about things. And one person goes out and says a few things, whether they're true or not, and all of a sudden the crowd is in an uproar, like a fire, a wildfire has just started. Well, that's not just true among unbelievers. It can happen among believers too if we're not careful. And we use words like this to describe arguments, don't we? What do we say? We say heated arguments. or they got a fiery disposition, or somebody's hot under the collar. What are we talking about? We're using the imagery of a fire to describe a fight, that people are all wound up. They're all worked up. Why? Because some gossip is saying things about another person, and the other people are getting worked up and saying, this is so wrong. We want justice. So gossip not only starts fights, it keeps fights going, prolongs fights. And then the last one there, I won't have you turn back there because it's on your handout, but back to chapter 16 and verse 28, the last consequence of gossip is that it ruins friendships. This one ought to hit close to home for us. He says there at the end of verse 28, a slanderer, same word, a fault finder, a whisperer, a gossip, a grumbler. A slanderer separates intimate friends. How many marriages have been destroyed by gossip? How many friendships in a church have been destroyed by gossip? How many things have been written online that have ruined friendships? Gossip ruins friendships. Here, I think the idea is finding fault with somebody else and then voicing the opinion to somebody else. So I'm upset with Barrett and his perceived fault, so I go to Will and I express those frustrations to Will. What have I done? I've just risked my friendship with Barrett, haven't I? Not only have I risked my friendship with Barrett, I have now jeopardized Will's friendship with Barrett. Not only am I taking the chance to lose Barrett as my friend, I'm going to potentially separate Will and Barrett. And that's why gossip is so devastating. Because it ruins friendships. I can alter your attitude about someone by what I tell you about them. I can tear a friendship apart by nitpicking them. And remember, gossip is true. It's one-sided, but it's true. How much more devastating than a slander, lying about somebody? So question three, why is gossip so common? All right, I would put my hand up and say, I've gossiped before, and probably even more than that, I've listened to gossip before and not shut it down. Why is it that it's so hard to shut gossip down? One would be our fear of people, but Proverbs 26 gives us another reason why gossip is so common and so hard to douse. It's like you throw water on it, it just keeps flaring up, like those trick candles at a birthday party that'll never go out no matter how hard you blow. That's like gossip. It just keeps flaring up again. You put it out here and here it's over here. Why is it so common? Proverbs 26:22, Solomon writes, the words of a whisperer, same word, fault finder, grumbler, gossip, the words of a gossip are like dainty morsels. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And you say, huh? What's he talking about? Well, let's put it in 21st century paraphrase. The words of a gossip are like timbits. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. What does that mean? Oh, sometimes it tastes so good. It's almost irresistible. We talk about, people use the expression, have I got a piece of juicy news for you about so-and-so? It's juicy. It's like a succulent steak or a dessert. My wife's aunt, Aunt Sharon, who is probably going to die here in the next year or so, would be our guess. But she can't swallow, so she has to be fed through a tube. She's got a really difficult life. She loves sweets like we all do, but she can't eat them. She can't taste them. But she would say, "Isn't it amazing how easily the sweets just slip down? They just go down so easy. It's just one chocolate chip cookie and then another, and then before you know it, four or five, and whoa, I got to stop." But they just slip down. And he says that's what gossip is like. People, literally in the Hebrew here, he says the words of a gossip are like food swallowed greedily. Oh, it just tastes so good. It's almost irresistible. People love to hear it. That's what he's saying. It's irresistible. So we can't take the approach as believers, well, I'm here in a church where people generally love the Lord, so if I say something inappropriate, then my friends are going to correct me. If I start gossiping, then they're going to shut it down. Maybe they won't. Why? Because gossip is tasty. And they have a sin nature, and they may go along and listen to it and feed it. Oh, really? Well, what did Barrett do to you? Oh, I can't believe that. And then it just goes further and further. You can't expect that your friends will necessarily correct you for it. They might not, because they might enjoy hearing it. What does he say about gossip? He says it goes down to the innermost parts of the body. In other words, maybe what Solomon is driving at here, that gossip is influential. It goes down like even into our belly, into our souls. It affects who we are. It affects our character. It damages our character if we enjoy it and revel in it as people share it with us. It goes down into the very core of a person. And that's why if we're in the presence of somebody who starts gossiping, we need to shut it down gently. That's very hard, isn't it? Can't tell you how many times I've sat and listened to it, even though on the inside I was maybe screaming out, this isn't right. And we don't have to come across as a holier than thou, but we do need to lovingly confront. Why is gossip so common? Because it's almost irresistible to us as sinners. This is why the tabloid magazines have a wide following, huh? I mean, how do those things stay in business? Because people like dainty morsels. They find them irresistible. Question four, last question. Okay, Pastor Michael, how can I stop gossip? How can I snuff gossip out? How can I put this fire out? James says the tongue is a fire. How can I put this sinful fire out so that it doesn't destroy and cause any more devastation? Have you ever been there after a forest fire and seen the devastation? I understand forest fires have a healing process. Any of you been to Mount St. Helens there in Washington, the volcano that erupted, and seen the devastation? When Mount St. Helens top blew off back in, what was it, 81? And sent out its devastation for miles. I remember as a teenage kid on a mission trip, we went out there and just lakes with trees like toothpicks filling them. Unbelievable devastation. Well, that's what gossip leaves. In Proverbs 17 and verse 9, he who conceals a transgression seeks what? Proverbs 17:9, he who conceals a transgression seeks love. Love. So first of all, gossip stops when I start pursuing love. Gossip will stop. I will stop gossiping when I start pursuing love. Because if I have a concern for this other person and I want to do what's good for them, I will conceal, I will cover a transgression. In other words, I will try to keep it hidden. I will, quote unquote, keep it under wraps. If it's a sin against me that they've come and confessed to me and made that right, forgive it, and it's under wraps. Doesn't need to be talked about with anybody else. It's closed. That's what forgiveness does. My husband sins against me. My wife sins against me. I don't need to talk about it with my friends on Monday because she's made it right with me. It's closed. It's over. It's done. That's what forgiveness does. God doesn't sit around heaven talking to Michael the archangel and say, you remember that sin of Michael back in 1987? No, it's forgiven. It's under the blood of Christ. God's not sitting around heaven talking about our sins, and neither should we be talking about other people's sins. Could be a sin against me. Could be a sin against another person that you find out about. Will finds out that Barrett, I'm not getting along with Barrett. Barrett's done something to me. Will now has a decision. How am I going to handle it? Could be a sin against God that the person has made right. They made it right with God. They've made it right with any God-given authority that they need to make it right with. And it doesn't need to go any further, right? Because it's been dealt with. It's been forgiven. You say, Pastor Michael, what is it? What if it hasn't been forgiven? Well, we'll answer that in just a minute. Solomon's point is that if I want to be loved by other believers and I want to keep Barrett and Will as friends, then I don't need to talk to Will about the problems I'm having with Barrett. If Barrett does have a legitimate transgression, I deal with Barrett about it, and then I conceal it. I keep it under wraps. In other words, he's saying, don't broadcast other people's sins. We don't make public service announcements. Public service announcement, we just thought you'd want to know what so-and-so did this week. What a stinker. And by the way, why do we gossip? Because we lack love. If I want what's best for the other person, I'm not going to gossip about them because I want what's best, and gossip isn't best. So gossip stops when I start pursuing love. Secondly, the end of verse 9 tells us that gossip stops when I start valuing friendships. He says, he who repeats a matter separates close friends, intimate friends. Why? Because gossip makes reconciliation almost impossible. Once Barrett finds out that I, instead of dealing with him about my frustration, I'm now dealing with Will, and Will knows about it. Not that Will would do this, but maybe Will's told somebody else, and then they told somebody else. And so before you know, 50% of the church knows, and now I come to Barrett and say, will you forgive me? He's going to have a hard time forgiving me because the fire has already spread. It's already scorched a lot of damaged relationships. It makes reconciliation almost impossible. So the point is when possible, when right to do, I keep my mouth shut. When I'm required to, maybe there's a God-given authority that needs to know, I tell only those who need to know. And who are the only people that need to know? The people who need to be involved in bringing reconciliation. So, for instance, we're taught as camp counselors, if a kid comes to you and says, promise me you won't tell anybody this. You never promise them that. Well, I'm not going to gossip about them. Well, you may do great damage to them, and you may get thrown in jail if you make that promise and don't tell anybody. But beyond situations like that, or where maybe a teenager is disobeying their parents and you find out about it, you may need to encourage them to make it right with their parents, and then if not, you follow up with their parents so that their parents know what's going on. But beyond situations like that, there's really no reason to talk about sin with anybody else, is there? I keep my mouth shut. I only talk about it when required to involve others who can help to bring reconciliation. Well, one last passage as we wrap this up tonight. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. In verse 9, Solomon writes, with his mouth the godless man, this is somebody who's polluted or defiled, here probably speaking of an unbeliever, says, with his mouth the polluted, godless man destroys his neighbor, the fire effect. He ruins his neighbor. That word neighbor can be translated friend. He ruins friends. He destroys friends. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. What's the last part of the verse saying? I think he's saying that if you get gossiped against and slandered against, wisdom will help you to work through that. And you can be delivered. You can get extricated from that calamity. So gossip not only stops when I pursue love, gossip stops when I value friendships. Number 3, verse 12 of chapter 11, Solomon writes, he who despises his neighbor lacks sense, literally lacks heart, understanding and character. He lacks understanding and character. But a man of understanding, a person of understanding, keeps silent. He has understanding. He can choose between good and evil. He can recognize when he should open his mouth and when he should keep his mouth closed. Solomon's saying, I don't blurt out criticism or harsh judgments about my neighbor. Because I don't despise my neighbor. I keep silent. Sometimes with gossip, we want other people to know what somebody's like. They're a hypocrite. They're not. They come and they put on this big smile at church, but that's not the way they are. And other people ought to know that so they can be careful. Well, the reality is that if a fellow church member is really an unworthy person, then they'll make it plain. I don't need to do it for them. They, in time, will reveal their own character. They'll make it plain. I don't have to do it for them. So he says, keep silent. Verse 13, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. Here, I don't think he's talking about lying about someone, but somebody comes to you and says, you know, I need to talk to you about something, but I need you to keep it confidential. And you say, if I can keep it confidential, I will. I won't tell anybody that doesn't need to know. And they open up their guts about maybe something that's happened in their past, or maybe a sin habit that they're struggling with. And they come into the church the next week and people are looking at them funny because you have betrayed their confidence. This is a reminder that we have to be very careful who we share our life story with, isn't it? Not because we're trying to hide stuff, but if there's something that other people don't need to know, we need to be very careful who we talk to about it. Gossip will stop when I keep private what doesn't need to be public. So Barrett sins against me, or I think he sinned against me, and I'm frustrated with Barrett. I have two options. What are my two options? I can go lovingly confront Barrett, or I can overlook it in love. Going to Will is not a biblical option, is it? Okay, that's easy enough. When somebody sinned against me, I've got two options. Go to them or overlook it in love. How about when I find out about something else? So I find out that Will has slugged Barrett. Barrett said something about Will's tie, and Will was just having a bad day and let Barrett have it. But I wasn't there to observe it. But Carrie observed it. So what options does Carrie have? She was the only one who saw Will slug Barrett. So what are Carrie's options at this point? Best option would be to lovingly confront Will. Obviously, there's a gender difference here, so just work with me in this illustration, okay? It's not a perfect analogy. Carrie's best resort would probably be to get Lee and say, we need to go talk to Will. He slugged Barrett and knocked Barrett right over. Nobody saw it. Why? No, not why did he knock him over, but why does Carrie need to go to Will? Reconciliation. You see, gossip never has as its goal reconciliation. Gossip has as its goal, if we're honest, making somebody else look bad. That's why we do it. But if Carrie is concerned about Will and Barrett not having a separated friendship and for the church being unified, then she will lovingly confront Will so that she can help Barrett to be So if Carrie decides, well, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to go tell Diane. And so she calls Diane and says, you'll never believe what Will. At that point, what Carrie is doing has become gossip. You see that? So the sphere of knowledge of a problem only needs to be as great as those who are involved in it. And at that point, all it is Carrie and Lee, Will, and Barrett. Even at that point, if she comes to me and says, Pastor Michael, you won't believe what happened, she's now gossiping to me, even though I'm the pastor. Now, if she goes to Will and Will blows her off, and then she takes a second witness, Lee and her and somebody else, and Will blows it off, then I need to know at that point. Then it's not gossip because Matthew 18 prescribes that. But if she brings it to me before step 3 or 4 of Matthew 18, then it becomes gossip. You see how practical this is? You see how often we listen to gossip? To my shame, I hang my head and say, there's many times I've listened to gossip. Even though my conscience may have been screaming on the inside, it doesn't matter what your conscience is doing on the inside if you don't do anything about it. So there's times when I just need to stop biting my tongue and I need to lovingly speak up and I need to say, you know, Carrie, you need to go talk to Will. You go talk to him, and if he won't respond to you, then I'll be happy to get involved in Matthew 18 as it goes on. So gossip stops when I keep private what doesn't need to be public. There are some things that need to be public, but most things don't. And lastly, Proverbs 20, verse 19 tells us when gossip will stop. He says, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a gossip. Number 4, point D, gossip will stop when I distance myself from my friends who have a problem with gossiping. I lovingly confront them and say, you know, this is gossip. Let's start speaking the truth in love. And if they say, no, I'm not going to do that, then you know what I need to lovingly do? I need to lovingly distance myself from them. Why? Because God says, don't be friends with a gossip. You don't want gossip as your friends. Not only might they talk about you, they're going to make it hard for you to be friends with other people. Well, I hope that's helpful. Probably should have preached this message years and years ago for my own benefit. But I hope it's been beneficial for you as it's been beneficial for me. And I'm not calling anybody out here, but I can put my hand up and say, gossip is a problem for me. And by God's grace, we can stop gossip. We can leave gossip behind. We can give it up. Let's bow our heads. Lord, sometimes it is hard to know. Sometimes there are very tricky situations. And in those situations, we really need your wisdom. But Lord, honestly, most of the situations are pretty clear cut. There's something we either need to confront or then overlook and keep quiet about. Those are really our two options. So may we follow your example of forgiveness and love and mercy and treat other people in the same way that you've treated us. And you've been so generous and so kind and so patient. Help us to be that in the way we talk about our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. For the glory of God, for the strengthening of His church, and for our personal growth in grace, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.